Family matters. Today we will think about family matters. Family is an important part of our lives. Family matters. Sometimes we talk about family matters. It's true for one and all of us that we live in a family, that we have a what I call family of origin, meaning relationships with parents, grandparents, siblings, aunts and uncles, and so forth. We've learned how to be in our families of origin. There's a whole field of study called families of origin. We call it FOO for short. I want to start this sermon, though, with a disclaimer. I don't often do that, but felt that was important to do today. Even though I will address the challenges of family matters and family life, I am not anti-family. My family of origin has been a source of great blessing and has shown me much love and has taught me so much that I hold dear. I'm so grateful for my family of origin and owe so much of them for shaping me into who I am today. And if none of this sermon seems to relate to you, please listen respectfully, because for the rest of us, we know we live in families that sometimes have issues and make things a bit messy. One of the challenges of my family of origin, and I suspect for many families, is that we find it hard to face and be honest about the places of pain. Mary can tell you about that. About the areas in which we differ and the areas in which we try to put on a nice veneer because we can't somehow handle that we're not a perfect family. So often we put impossible demands on the nuclear family, our own family unit, we might say, and on our families of origin. Back in 1977, a psychologist in Southern California by the name of James Dobson, you may have heard of him, started an organization called Focus on the Family with a mission of helping families thrive. I can't think of a more wonderful mission than to help families thrive. But it's clear that the organization is focused on one specific kind of family and spends a good deal of time and energy and money advocating against families that don't conform to their conception of the family. In fact, the organization suggests that marriage equality will bring about the destruction of the civilization, and has referred to children of same-sex couples as human guinea pigs. As a kind of frustration at the harm done by this organization that seems to obliterate perhaps all the good that the organization does, I saw a bumper sticker once that said, and maybe you've seen this bumper sticker, and I hesitated to share it with you, but I'm going to anyway. It said, "Focus on your own damn family." Yes, it's so tempting to focus on someone else's family. It's because we find another family that has more challenges than our own, then we somehow feel better. I don't know what it is. I just know that when Mary points out the inconsistencies and the craziness that I just identified, I suddenly get defensive and say, "Whoa, but it's my family." And I want to say, "Mary, focus on your own family." So let's stop and focus for a little bit on a family that we've all heard about that none of us relate to. I'm pretty sure none of us know this family. It's the family of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Our sympathies were tapped for this royal couple when we saw and witnessed their marriage with such a grand and glorious wedding in London, watched by cheering millions. And then they took up residence in one of the palaces of the English royal family, and we thought, okay, fairy tale, living happily ever after. Not so fast. Things quickly went downhill for this young couple. The press hounded them unmercifully. Ugly racist comments were made on social media, and rumors about racial overtones within the royal family itself. We were forced to encounter another aspect of one of the richest, most powerful families in the world. Here's a family that was not all shiny and polished. Here, a family torn apart by sibling rivalry, elders who were powerless over their family and struggling to welcome a new life into the family. In short, maybe a family like our own. Millions began to suddenly realize that this family was beset by dysfunction in their family, and perhaps if we are honest, we found some comfort in learning that this prestigious, famous, rich family had no better coping mechanisms than our own. And when we feel discomfort at certain subjects that come up within our family of origin around the Thanksgiving table, we know we're not alone. Well, I've got families on my mind this morning because of today's gospel lesson that you just heard from Mark chapter 3. We find Jesus making a rare appearance with his family, and things don't go so well. Last week, we followed Jesus as he moved into the world preaching and healing and teaching. And as he had gone forth, Jesus had encountered hostility from those he was attempting to reach. People have resisted or misunderstood him. Those religious authorities criticized him, debated him, and scorned him from time to time, and threatened to do him in. But now Jesus takes a break before his demanding schedule and heads back home to his family. Homecoming. Nothing like the safety, warmth, and security of the family, right? Wrong. At home, the family says worse things to him than almost any strangers had said on the road. When Jesus' family, coming to take control of him, they were saying, he's out of his mind. This guy is nuts. I hope none of Jesus' critics saw that, his family attempting to get a court order to put him away, so to speak. His own family concerned about the state of Jesus' own mental health. It's then that Jesus' mother Mary and some of his brothers, maybe in an attempt to intervene on his behalf, reach out to him. Some of the crowd said, look, your mother, your brothers and sisters are outside looking for you. And Jesus responds, not saying, oh, great, wonderful, my family, can't wait to see them. No, he responds with a couple of questions, and then this surprising answer, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Looking around at those seated there around him, listening to his teaching, he said, look, here. Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. It appears that Jesus is setting himself off, creating kind of boundary here in his own family. We might think, is he disowning his own mother and sister and brothers? And then he redefines the family for us. Look, here are my mother and brothers. When Jesus preached at his hometown in synagogue of Nazareth, he was known in the town as Joseph's son and Mary's boy. That designation indicates with high regard family relationships had in first century Palestine. And yet Jesus appears to be breaking away, to setting a kind of boundaries, so you might speak, redefining the whole idea of family. And some of us, some of you, may hear Jesus' ambiguity, you might say, about his family as a piece of good news. There are people here today who bear the scars that are inflicted upon you by your family of origin. Some of you had parents who, though they may have loved you and had done the best that they could, the best was not good enough. As a pastor down through the years, I've met folks who could justifiably respond to idealized notions of the family with, "I've spent most of my life getting over the damage done to me by my family of origin." Parents have incredible power over their children, and sometimes those parents abuse their power, hurting the vulnerable little ones that they're supposed to be protecting. And certainly any of us who are parents or who have nurtured children understand and realize that we've blown it and we've needed to repent and confess and turn in a different way to our families. But what I'm talking about is something entirely different, where the pain, the suffering is inflicted over and over and over. There are countless stories among us of those who do not fit the prescribed little box regarding their sexuality or gender, who try desperately to fit in for the sake of their family, knowing that if they were to be true to their God-created self, they would be rejected and pushed away by their own family, and maybe experienced a whole lot of that. For years, these dear children of God felt unloved and unlovable in their own bodies. And when I think about that very much, I have this deep sadness, deep, deep sadness. During this Pride Month of June, we do well to remember all those for whom their family of origin has abandoned or rejected them and has left them feeling homeless. And their perception is that the church also has turned its back on them too, because they don't fit into all human categories of what a family is supposed to look like. Now, for most of us, we feel the dis-ease of knowing our families, while they're trying their best, fail us in some profound ways, just as we have failed them. We may be carrying pain from misunderstandings or deliberate hurt inflicted by our families of origin, and perhaps we've given out our dose of pain as well. So today, I want us to just simply take note that Jesus was not exempt from family tensions either. In the end, I think Jesus is not denying that the family is, for the most of us, a place of love and security, a profound joy and pride, may we say, along with its dysfunction. And when Mary and I did some studies on family systems, the leaders always said, "Look, there are no perfect families. Own what is your brand of craziness." What Jesus seems to be saying here, I believe, is that our definition of family is too small, inadequate for the embracing, expansive love of God. And as we know God's love, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? In looking to the circle of disciples, those whom he had gathered to join him in his mission, in calling them my family, Jesus is reworking our whole notion of family. It's troubling but beautiful. As Jesus is saying, look around you, those of you that you aren't even related to, who don't share your last name. You are brought together. You are brought together not by biology, but by a more expansive God-sized vision of family and beloved community and calling people to follow. Follow me as I follow God, Jesus would say. I'm forming a whole new family, the family of God. These are your kin. This is the kingdom of God. Jesus forms a new family in order to bless the world, I believe. Sometimes he rescues people from the narrow confines of their family, and at other times he puts us into new families in order to heal some of the wounds inflicted upon us by our biological family. And then there are times when he has greater aspirations and dreams for us even than those held by our parents. This week I sat on one of your patios and we listened to the birds and admired the statue of St. Francis of Assisi planted there with the other beautiful plants. When I think of St. Francis, I think of this gentle, peaceful man who founded the Franciscan order and one who preached to the birds and talked to the animals as his friends. The one who prayed that beautiful prayer, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon, so forth. Certainly a person of peace. And yet, if you know the story of how St. Francis came to become a saint, how the saint we love, you know that Francis' journey with God did not begin peacefully. When Francis decided to give himself totally to Christ and his work, he, like so many others before him, renounced his family, left his family. In a dramatic act, he stripped himself of all his clothes and stood outside his father's house saying, all of these fine clothes are what you own of me. The rest belongs to God. Now, I can't imagine how Francis' family heard and took all of that, their son's public repudiation of them, in order to be more fully in the arms of Christ. This peaceful little friar's life was rooted in anything but peaceful renunciation of his parents and his family. Look around you. Seriously, look around you. These are the people here that you might call for help in your time of need. Maybe sometimes even before you would call your own relatives. There are people here with different names, different towns, different counties, different backgrounds and ages. You may have very little in common except that for one thing. You're here because you have been assembled. You have been called forth and convened by the Jesus that we seek to model. And even in your differences, you are now, through the work of Jesus, siblings in Christ, the new family, not by birth, but by commitment, the kingdom of God. Today, we especially celebrate Jack Pollock's presence with us. Jack, you have kept choosing us here in this church family. Thank you for your choosing us. Thank you for your quiet presence and blessings to you on your graduation and on your future endeavors in college and so forth. And please keep connected with us here at Percussie Mennonite. And make sure that you get to the fellowship hall so you get the first piece of cake as we celebrate with you. You and your dad, Ed. Thank you, Leona. Your family of origin, no matter how wonderful and loving it has been, is just simply not big enough. Doesn't have a big enough vision to enable you to keep being faithful to your calling. Therefore, Christ has put you in a new family in order for you to keep growing and blessing others as you welcome others into this family and as we draw the circle ever wider. Who are Jesus' family? Who are his brothers and sisters and mother? Look around you. Amen.